And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, joining you from the Minnesota-South Dakota border. I am out here near Ortonville, Minnesota. For those of you who are out in western Minnesota, I'm out duck hunting this weekend. So Luke was nice enough to be able to help me record here at a different time in a different kind of setup. And for folks wondering, we're out here at duck camp. So I may have had a couple, one, two, three here before we started recording tonight. So if my takes seem a little bit hot or fiery or a little bit too candid for you, here is the disclaimer to start out the podcast. But Luke, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Glad to hear you're out in west, you know, in the greater western Minnesota area. Being from west central Minnesota, I'm very proud of you. Enjoy your duck hunting.
I'll tell you this much: if I could hit anything, that would be greatly appreciated. I'm making sure I go through my box of 3-inch 4s very quickly. And unfortunately, I'm not landing as many bluebills and mallards and the occasional redhead or widgeon that flies by. So I'm having some issues here, but I got another couple of mornings to rectify that here before the Gophers take on the Illinois Fighting Illini.
All right, let's talk a little bit of recruiting, because when you're a 3-3 football team, recruiting is the lifeline of your program, or so I've heard. Let's just talk. I know that, you know, we talked multiple times about how there isn't going to be a lot of active recruiting, but there was a commitment, last weekend, and there still seems to be a little bit of steam on the recruiting trail these days.
Absolutely. So Minnesota received their highest 24/7 composite commitment thus far from an Ohio defensive lineman by the name of Alex Riegelsberger, one for the all-name team there. Someone who's about 6'3", 240 pounds. And what the nice thing about Alex is he was a former SEC commit. He was committed to the Kentucky Wildcats. He decided that Minnesota was a place that he wanted to explore. So 2 weekends ago, so on the 5th, he decided to decommit from Kentucky. And last weekend, he and his family and some teammates took an unofficial visit to Minnesota. So what does that mean? After his game on Friday night, he and his parents and his friends drove out to Minnesota throughout the night, arrived Saturday morning, stayed until Monday morning and Sunday evening in their final meeting with Coach Fleck. They decided to row the boat with Coach Fleck, decided to give him his commitment. And the nice thing also about Alex Riegelsberger is that he's an early enrollee. So what does that mean? That means that he is going to sign in December with Minnesota, and then he will be on campus here in January. So he can get an extra 6 months of strength and conditioning in to potentially contribute to a Golden Gopher program that really needs some help at defensive end, obviously with Carter Coughlin and Winston D'Lattie Boudere, and Nate Umlor is a true freshman now starting here for Minnesota. So Alex Riegelsberger is the latest one to know. He's the highest rated one. I think ESPN has him as like the number 151 overall recruit in the country in the 2018 class. I don't know that he should necessarily be that high. But as ESPN, just for comparison, had Neil McLaurin, Minnesota's junior college running back from the last class, rated as a near four-star kid, the second highest overall in Minnesota's 2017 class. And he lasted all of about 3 weeks of spring ball before it was very, very clear to everybody who was watching, including the coaching staff, that the kid's just not flat out very good. Alex Riegelsberger, though, is going to provide some immediate depth on the offensive line. I do think he has a chance to immediately contribute there, as Minnesota is going to be tremendously young at defensive end next year, with Carter Coughlin extremely likely to shift back to linebacker for Jonathan Celestine. So a very good get for Coach PJ Fleck. You know, 3 straight losses. I know people start to kind of question the whole roll the boat thing. Coach Fleck as an individual and as a coach, but I don't think you should ever be questioning him as a recruiter, because even today, I mean, there's a lot of steam on the board there with Gobi and I joining forces that there could be a commitment potentially in that was waiting to announce. But I can't really spill too much of the beans there, as I want to make sure the kid has all the power. It's his announcement. Don't want to ruin anything there. So people should stay very in tune to GopherIllustrated.com.
All right, so let's get into kind of the depth chart. Injuries have kind of plagued the Gophers this season, and it's really a part of the game of football. Really, it's a game of attrition. So looking at the Gophers going into this game against Illinois, the homecoming game, what can we expect? I imagine that there are guys like most guys won't be back, but is anybody going to be able to come back?
Well, let's go to the depth chart. And again, right away, folks, if you haven't heard this disclaimer, first and foremost, is that most of the things you read on the Golden Gopher depth chart that is released prior to the press conference on Tuesday should absolutely be taken with a grain of salt, as most things on the depth chart are not accurate outside of a few different positions. You look at the depth chart, I believe it's Demry Croft or Connor Rota at the starting quarterback. Everybody here would be naive to think that Connor Rota is going to get too many snaps this weekend if Demry Croft has stayed out of trouble. And if you've been following social media through various Gopher football sites, you'll be able to see that Demry Croft, and I think each night this week, has been at a different volunteering event with Duke McGee. Again, both being suspended, both are trying to do a little bit extra to make sure that they can stay on the field. So their nights have been taken over after classwork and practice with giving back to the local community. So it looks like Demry Croft has been able to stay out of off-the-field trouble. And if that's the case, come Saturday afternoon at 2:30, I do expect him to be the starting quarterback for your Golden Gopher team. You'll also notice that Brandon Lingen is listed as a co-starter with Nate Wozniak. I have been hearing from practice this week that I'm not fully expecting Brandon Lingen to be giving it a go. Again, we'll see how he tests out Saturday morning before the Illinois game, but I'm a little bit skeptical at this point in time. It doesn't look like Vincent Calhoun or Nick Conley on the offensive line are going to be able to give it a go. Nick Conley being Minnesota's starting right tackle from Red Wing, Minnesota. I'm not entirely sure he comes back this year, which is unfortunate for the young man with how well he was playing, but he's got some injuries and injury history that he has to overcome for him to be able to come back for the Golden Gophers this season. It appeared that Vincent Calhoun sustained a lower leg injury, and he's not going to be able to come back from that. So you're going to see Garrison Wright slide back to left guard, which he did mid-game for Minnesota against their last opponent. And then it looks like Meyer Lutherans, and I am going to continue to say Meyer Lutherans, not Mayer Lutherans. Sam Schluter is going to be given his first career start at right tackle for Minnesota as a redshirt freshman. I don't know that he's necessarily ready for that. Coach Fleck even mentioned that he probably needs another year in the strength and conditioning program to get a little bit bigger, a little bit quicker, work on his foot speed. But Minnesota doesn't have any other options at tackle without burning a redshirt, because the swing tackle for Minnesota now is true freshman Blaze Andrews, who's from Marshall, Minnesota, the highest rated recruit in the 2017 class. They really want to preserve that redshirt, especially now that we're past that halfway mark. I don't know that they're going to have the luxury to do so. And then finally, the secondary depth chart is an absolute joke. For the second consecutive week, Coney Durr is listed as the starter at corner. There is no mention of Kuhn Leyende, who actually started at corner. Antoine Winfield is listed as a starter at safety. And there's no mention of Duke McGee, who is the starting safety. So, again, this is why the depth chart at certain positions means absolutely nothing. It's kind of a Jim Harbaugh-esque depth chart with PJ and whoever else actually puts out the depth chart kind of just playing mind games. But I do expect Kuhn Leyende to continue to start at the cornerback position for Minnesota. I do expect that Duke McGee is the starter at safety for Minnesota, as he was last week against Michigan State. And I do not expect any Keandre Thomas, Coney Durr outside of special teams, or Antoine Winfield this weekend. Again, I believe Andy Reeder was the one that came out with an article this week that said, hey, Minnesota is exploring a medical redshirt for Antoine Winfield. Well, then why the hell is he listed as the starter at safety? Because the coaching staff loves to play mind games, and that's why you should not ever read too much into the depth chart. The only other thing I will note is that Mark Williams is listed as the starter at wide receiver, with it doesn't look likely that Philip Howard is going to be able to return. And luckily for Minnesota, if Mark Williams' game tape is anything like it was last week against Michigan State, I think Demry Croft's going to be able to have a legit second option there, especially with Brandon Lingen likely limited, because the way that Mark Williams was able to create separation last week was very impressive. So that is your depth chart rundown, Luke.
All right, so let's get into kind of previewing the game. We'll start when the Gophers are on defense. This is an Illinois team that comes in that's averaging right about 18.8 points per game. The Gophers, conversely, are only giving up 19.3 points a game. Illinois is basically making most of their hay I don't know. It's kind of 50-50, but they're averaging about 200 yards in the passing game, about 118 yards in the run game. But let's be quite frank, with the point production, they're not doing a lot on offense, and they're turning the ball over a lot. And by a lot, I mean a lot.
Illinois, for folks who don't know a whole lot about the Fighting Illini, the Fighting Lovie Smiths, that is Champaign, Illinois right now, they have been extremely atrocious on basically both sides of the ball the last four games. They're on a four-game losing streak. Their defense, we'll get into that, is giving up 39 points a game over their last four games, one being a non-conference game. The other three are being Big Ten conference games, including giving up 35 points at home last week to the Fighting Jerry Kills of Rutgers, a Rutgers team that has been absolutely atrocious this year. But Illinois on offense, you mentioned it, has been giving the ball away at an extremely alarming rate through six games. They have 11 interceptions between their two quarterbacks at this point, and that's very alarming. But it looks like Minnesota is going to be seeing Jeff George this weekend, opposed to Chase Crouch. Jeff George was the Illinois Fighting Illini had kind of a quarterback competition going in to the first few games of the season, as did Minnesota. And I believe the stat here from our Jeremy Warner of the Illinois Inquirer on the 247/CBS Sports Network was that Jeff George had quarterbacked the offense for 2.5 halves, had led the Illini to about 1,000 yards of total offense, and the other quarterback, Chase Crouch, had led the offense to about 700 yards of total offense in that same amount of time. So the Fighting Illini decided to go with Jeff George. So Illinois is averaging 244 yards a game of total offense with Chase Crouch. And the issue is for them, he's still very turnover prone. I believe in five of the six games that the Illinois Fighting Illini have had this year, their quarterback has thrown two or more interceptions. It hasn't been very good. So Illinois is giving the ball away at an alarming rate. And that's actually going to be one of my keys to the game, is make sure you get after the quarterback. Because the issue with Minnesota's defense, and everybody here, I'm sure listening to this, knows this, is that Minnesota has been struggling immensely to stop the run during Big Ten play. They've been giving up over 5 yards a carry, and just to running backs alone, the Gophers have been absolutely hemorrhaging yards to opposing running backs on 95 carries through Big Ten play against Purdue, Maryland, and Michigan State. Minnesota is giving up 6.1 yards a carry to running backs. That's atrocious. There's really nowhere to sugarcoat that, especially against not exactly powerhouse running teams when you think of the Purdue Boilermakers or necessarily Maryland. But the Michigan State Spartans last week on 41 running attempts against this Gopher defense ran for 268 yards between their two running backs. So that's the first key for Minnesota's defense, is they have to stop the run. Illinois hasn't been able to run the ball very much necessarily because of the negative game script. They've been going against, they get down so early that, again, they can't really try to establish the run because then the clock would run out and they still not have enough points on the board to beat the other team. So Minnesota's got to be able to stop the run, especially because it looks like that Illinois' best running back, Mike Epstein, a true freshman, is not going to be able to play. It appears that he's going to be out multiple weeks with an injury. So Minnesota's going to see a ton of Ravon Bonner, who was their star running back from last week, someone that didn't have a lot of success against Rutgers, but I don't know that Rutgers really, or Illinois, needs to have a lot of success the way Minnesota's giving up yards on the ground. So Minnesota needs to be able to stop the run to make sure they get after the passer, because we've talked about it. They've given up 11 interceptions through the air, and Illinois quarterbacks have been sacked 15 times on the year through six games. That's a 2.5 average. So if Minnesota's able to get after the passer, Luke, they should be able to force some turnovers, force some 50-50 balls that hopefully guys like Kunle Ayende, Duke McGee, Jacob Huff can take advantage of that, because Minnesota has forced 7 turnovers through their last two games on the defensive side of the ball, and that's going to have to continue. But the first thing is they're going to have to stop the run, especially to running backs. We mentioned it, they're giving up 6.1 yards a carry, and if they're able to cut that to a much more manageable 3 or 4 yards a carry, hopefully less than that, they're going to be able to get after a quarterback that does seem susceptible to giving it up through the air, especially with a defense that's having a lot of success in turning over opposing offenses. We've mentioned it, 7 turnovers for the Gopher defense in their last two games. That's going to have to continue if PJ Fleck's going to get his first Big Ten win.
Yeah, so looking at this, both Illinois and Minnesota are 0-3 in conference play, so somebody has to finally get a win in Big Ten play. So when the Gophers are on offense, you know, they're averaging just about 27 points per game. Conversely, Illinois is giving up about 30.5 points per game. Illinois, they've basically been terrible on defense, as you kind of reference. They're giving up 224 yards a game through the air and 197.2 yards per game on the ground. That's just flat out not good, right? The Gophers, conversely, have really sputtered until basically that last game against Michigan State offensively.
Basically the last quarter against Michigan State, because remember that they had 6 points through three quarters. They had, I think it was like 2.5 yards of play. And then Demery Croft comes in, but continue on.
Yeah, no. I was just going to say, you know, they've sputtered and they've just really lacked an identity. And, you know, Croft came in and seemed to be the lightning rod that they needed. It'll be interesting to see if they can carry over some consistency with that. This is kind of the right opponent, you'd think, offensively to hopefully continue to build some confidence in your evolving offense. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Gophers manage against Illinois. If they can't do it here, you kind of wonder if they can.
That's the huge point of what I was about to get into, is if Minnesota's offense can't score 28, 31, 35 points against Illinois right now, I don't know that this offense has much of a chance for success the rest of the Big Ten schedule. And I'm just being honest here, folks, because you look at this Illinois Fighting Illini team, I mentioned it to start the show, they're giving up 38.75 points per game during this four-game losing streak that they're on, which includes one non-conference game and three Big Ten games. And you look at their last opponent, I already mentioned it as well, they gave up 35 points to a Rutgers team that had been abysmal, and they gave up 274 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns to the Fighting Jerry Keels at home last week.
And you know, Ryan, the one thing I wanted to point out was that, you know, they haven't exactly been playing like stellar competition. I know UCF, who they lost to 47-23, was ranked 22nd in the country. I don't actually know what they're ranked now. But then alternatively, you know, they played Nebraska, which, you know, is probably going to
Nebraska is a dumpster fire right now. Rutgers is a dumpster fire right now. And who is the other opponent?
And it was Iowa. And Iowa is okay, but they're not incredible by any means, no. Right? And they put up 45 against them. So I don't know. And that's what, and that was a point in which Iowa, you know, had a strong outing against Penn State, but then kind of lost a little bit of a night, or, you know, kind of regressed back a little bit. So, I mean, they haven't exactly played stellar competition.
No, they haven't. So my biggest key for this game, and we'll get into it a little bit later, but I want to make sure that folks know this, is Minnesota's running game has to get going, because their running backs last week against Michigan State only managed 53 rushing yards on 18 carries. That's less than 3 yards a carry as an offense during Big Ten play. So against Purdue, Maryland, and Michigan State, Minnesota has run for 381 yards in 105 attempts. That's about 3.5 yards per carry. And their running backs are averaging less than 4 yards a carry on 86 attempts. Well, you look at the Illinois defense during Big Ten play, and Luke mentioned it. I believe it's Rutgers. And remind me of the other two opponents.
In Big Ten play? Rutgers,
yes, Nebraska.
Rutgers, Nebraska, and Iowa.
Illinois' defense is hemorrhaging 5.67 yards per carry to running backs. So if you're Rodney Smith, if you are Shannon Brooks, and you look at that stat, you have to think you're going to be able to find some resemblance of success up front. So something has to give for Minnesota's running backs, their offensive line, their moving company up front, or the Illini defense. And I tend to bet on Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks a lot here, because you look at the Illinois defensive line is bottom five in all of FBS football in terms of defensive line adjusted line yards, which means that Minnesota's offensive line should be able to get a push up front, because the Illini defensive line, which is starting a lot of freshmen and true freshmen right now, is getting blown back, which means opposing running backs have a lot of room to run. And that's not something we've seen a lot for in terms of Minnesota's running backs so far through six games, is they always consistently are getting hit behind the line. But if Minnesota's passing game is able to get going with Demery Croft there now, Minnesota's got an edge threat in Demery Croft and an actual legitimate read option, which was a hell of a concept considering it's a run-pass option offense. You have to think that Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks are going to see even boxes in terms of six blockers up front from Minnesota, four linemen, two linebackers for Illinois. And that's a situation where Minnesota's offensive line has had a lot of success this year. They've had a lot of success in terms of opening holes. So I like to think that Minnesota's running backs on the day heading into this Illinois game for homecoming at 2:30 kickoff, you're at home, the Fighting Illini have lost four straight games. They have no confidence. You should be able to run for over 4.5 yards a carry. Again, I'm not asking the world here for Minnesota's offensive line, for Kirk Ciarrocca, for these running backs, but I mentioned it. The Illinois defense is giving up 5.67 yards a carry to running backs. And it's not like they have faced Michigan, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. They have faced Rutgers, a dumpster fire. They have faced Nebraska, a team that cannot do anything right now, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But offensively, they're struggling, and they have faced Iowa. Like, this isn't that hard of a matchup for Minnesota's moving company up front for the running back. So I'm hoping that Minnesota is able to establish the run against Illinois, because if they're not able to establish the run here, I don't know that they're going to have a chance to do so the rest of the season, because then they head at Iowa City, at Ann Arbor, before coming home and taking on a Nebraska team, I believe. So Minnesota's offense, if they're ever going to be able to move the ball on the ground, this is going to have to be a big game for Shannon Brooks and Ronnie Smith.
All right. So for me, I guess the one thing, you know, that we've talked about at length is how much the Gophers have struggled really against loaded boxes. And I imagine if you're Illinois, that's got to be your approach. Dare the Gophers to throw. So for me, I think that they have to be able to throw to open up the pass. I imagine that'll be the approach. And hopefully with Demery, you know, at the helm, they'll be able to do that and get the wheels a turning on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, you hope so, and that's the hope, is that, you know, it's the assumption of rational coaching. And for those folks who have never heard that before, you'd like to think that as a coaching staff from Minnesota, if Demery has asserted himself as a leader off the field this week, which, again, I think he has been giving and serving each day after practice this week at either a local food shelf or at a school, you'd like to think that if he's doing everything right off the field, which it appears he is, that he gets the shot as the starter this week, because I've seen enough as Connor Rota as Minnesota's starting quarterback against quality opponents. You saw how the offense performed with Connor Rota. You saw the amount of turnovers he had. I mean, you look at Michigan State alone. He calls the play, forgets the play, gives the ball to Shannon Brooks, who's not expecting it because it's not the play call. Minnesota has a turnover with it, and it gives the opponent a short field to work on. You know, he's missing throws. He's missing Mark Williams wide open. Connor Rota, through Big Ten play, is completing less than 50% of his passes, has more turnovers than touchdowns, averaging about 100 yards a game through the air, and he's giving you nothing in the run game. Like, what is the legitimate reason to continue to start Connor Rota outside of the fact that he's a quote-unquote fantastic leader, which I don't doubt that he is, but at the end of the day, everybody needs results, and Demery Croft, since day one, basically, of this podcast, since the 2017 season flipped the page, I have stated that Demery Croft is the better quarterback, which I believe he is from the 20-plus practices I've seen between the two of them. Demery just gives you more as a mobile passer. He gives you more as in terms of arm strength, in terms of decision-making. I just think that this offense can perform and execute at a much higher level with Demery Croft as the starter. So the assumption of rational coaching is that Demery Croft is the starter, and if he is, I think you're going to see a Minnesota offense, I don't think necessarily put up, again, more than 34 points. You know, would I like to see that happen? Yes. Do I think it's attainable? Yes. But I think, you know, it's recency bias to think that, you know, the fourth quarter for Minnesota last week, Minnesota scores 3 touchdowns on 3 drives, all led by Demery Croft. That's the last thing on people's minds. So everybody thinks, well, why can't he go out and do that again this week? Well, it's just not the way, you know, college football works. You know, it very well might, considering how bad this Fighting Illini defense is. But you'd like to think with Demery Croft at the helm, you know, Minnesota can work read option back into their game, because Demery Croft is actually a threat to take off with his legs, like you saw against Oregon State on that long touchdown, like you saw in the fourth quarter last week. Demery Croft against Michigan State has 43 yards on 5 carries. Again, he's able to do things with his legs, which then should in turn even out the boxes. I mean, you mentioned it, Luke. Minnesota's been facing stacked boxes all season. But if Demery Croft's also to be accurate in the passing game, they have Tyler Johnson, who everybody here knows is a bona fide stud. And then they also have Mark Williams, who, if he's able to get the amount of separation he was against Michigan State, again against Illinois, he's going to be open to help potentially mitigate the loss of Brandon Lingan in the passing game. So I think Demery Croft really does change this offense, and let's hope to see that again on Saturday afternoon.
All right, so this game is homecoming. It's a 2:30 kickoff. The spread for this game is Gophers are favored by 13.5. Illinois on the season is 1-5-0 against the spread, where the Gophers are 3-3-0 against the spread. The over-under for this game is 45.5.
Jeepers. I think that's been bet down 2.5 points since I left to go out west here. So that's okay. Interesting.
Yeah, so that is interesting. From a weather perspective, on Saturday around 2 o'clock, we're looking at about 65 degrees, a south wind at about 14 miles an hour right around kickoff, and about a 15% chance for rain. So it should be an all right day, but it'll be a little bit on the windier side. So it'll be an interesting tilt. So Ryan, what are your keys to the game?
Yeah, it's seemingly for the third straight game, Minnesota has the potential to play in an absolute monsoon or have the game delayed, because we're looking at that Purdue game where the game was delayed in the fourth quarter. The kickoff last week was delayed against Michigan State. And now we have the threat of rain once again here on homecoming. So hopefully the rain either passes north near Cambridge or heads south, south near Lakeville. So let's hope that happens. But my keys to the game, I mentioned them already. I think Minnesota has to run the ball, because if you're going to be winning by what Vegas thinks is double-digit points, you're going to have to be able to run the ball in the second half. And we'll get to that in terms of Minnesota being able to finish the game. But that running game is going to be absolutely key. Because we mentioned it, Minnesota's running game, especially with their running backs, has been sputtering essentially throughout the entire season. Shannon Brooks and Roddy Smith haven't been able to get going. I believe Minnesota's running offense as a whole has gotten worse in terms of rushing explosiveness from last week. So Minnesota's rushing offense, I believe, is bottom seven in the country in terms of explosive runs, which means that those big runs that you remember against Purdue, yes, they were on back-to-back plays. Yes, they were 40-plus yards. But the other 90-95% of carries have gone for 3 or 2 or 1 yards. Minnesota hasn't been able to find anything up front, and I think that should be able to change this week against the Illinois defense that's giving up 5.67 yards a carry to running back. So especially in the second half, as Minnesota hopefully has a double-digit lead, they don't have to pass the ball very much. They should be able to open some holes for two very talented running backs, and let's hope that Minnesota is able to find some chunk plays on the ground. Second key of the game is getting after the quarterback. We mentioned it. Illinois has had some issues in terms of their quarterbacks holding on to the ball, and when they do hold on to the ball, they're making poor decisions with it. Illinois' quarterbacks have been sacked 15 times through 6 games. We're looking at a Minnesota defense that has been extremely struggling against the run. 6.1 yards a carry during Big Ten play on 95 carries to running backs. So the number one priority is going to be stopping the run for Minnesota, because they haven't been able to do so in the last few weeks. So they're going to need some help from some secondary players being able to kind of get it into their mentality that I need to be a run defender along with being a pass defender as well. So let's hope that Minnesota secondary is up to the challenge this week, as they really struggled against it against Michigan State. But if Minnesota is able to put up points on offense, kind of stop this Illinois defense or this Illinois offense, excuse me, they should be able to get after the passer for an Illinois offensive line that has been struggling to protect their quarterback. I believe they're starting at least 3 or 4 freshmen on their offensive line, including 2 true freshman starters at tackle. So you're looking at guys like Carter Coughlin, Blake Cashman, Tayon Devers, hopefully gets into the mix with his first sack of the season. And the other pass rushers being able to get onto the field. And they don't even necessarily need to get home, but if you're able to create pressure on him, he throws up the 50-50 balls that you get. You think guys like Jacob Huff, Duke McGee, and
Kunlay, man, he had a pick last game.
He did. He read the route. He was able to jump it. Again, that's what happens when your quarterback doesn't move off the first read. Cough, cough. I won't get into that much more, but if Minnesota's able to get after the quarterback, I think folks could see a very eventful afternoon, because I mentioned it already, I think a few different times on this podcast, that Minnesota's defense has forced 7 turnovers in their last 2 games. And finally, the final key for Minnesota is they need to finish the game. I'm sure folks are very well aware that Minnesota has been either within 3 points, tied, or winning in the last 3 minutes of each one of their Big Ten games thus far, and they have absolutely zero wins to show for it. That has to change on Saturday, as Minnesota has been outscored by 16 points in the second half of Big Ten games. The defense is giving up 17-plus points per second half on average through three Big Ten games. And this, I mean, you look at the fourth quarter alone, folks. Minnesota's defense is giving up almost two touchdowns per second half, or per fourth quarter, excuse me. So the defense really needs to start to figure out second half adjustments, because it's crazy how the three-game sample sizes have been mixed. We talked about the non-conference where Minnesota gave up zero total points and 160 total yards through three games in the non-conference. That means 0 points and an average of 53 yards per game in the second half. Well, now you look at during Big Ten play, maybe it's everything regressing back to the mean, but their defense has been absolutely just giving up points. I believe it's 13.6 points on average in the fourth quarter of games alone. So Minnesota's defense has to figure out how to close out games, especially on the final drives. Too many times you've seen against Maryland, they get a long play for a touchdown. You see Purdue able to drive down the field under 3 minutes left very easily. And then Michigan State doing essentially the same thing in the fourth quarter against Minnesota when it counted. So the defense has to change their best. The offense has to change their best, because you take out Demery Croft's, you know, performance last week, where maybe Michigan State's foot wasn't on the gas pedal as much. You know, Demery Croft was kind of playing loosey-goosey because he knew Minnesota was down so much. He could do some different things that maybe he wouldn't do in the normal flow of the game. But Minnesota's offense has been abysmal in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter as well. So both the offense and the defense are going to have to change their best against Illinois. And again, it's a great opportunity to do so, because this is a very, very bad Illinois Big Ten team right now, especially coming in off a four-game losing streak. So if they're able to establish the run, stop the run, get after the quarterback, and then finish the game, I think fans who come out at 2:30 to TCF Bank Stadium on Saturday are going to be pretty happy.
All right, I'll go first this week in my game prediction. I think that from my perspective, if I have a key, I think the Gophers have to get out fast. I think that they need to try to find a way to get an early lead. Then that can take some pressure off their defense. Hopefully, Illinois is forced to throw the ball, and you know, they get some pass rushers out there to pin the areas back and get after the quarterback and maybe force some additional turnovers. I do agree with you, Ryan, though. They got to be able to run the ball consistently if they're going to be able to win this game. So I do think that ultimately the Gophers come out victorious. I think that it'll be probably a 24-14 game. The Gophers on top.
Look at you. Look at you taking the points there with Minnesota. I think this game is going to be more high scoring than people want. But I would certainly hope that Minnesota is able to at least get to the 30s against this Illinois team, considering Rutgers put up 35 points at Champaign last week. I'm going to go with Minnesota 34, Illinois 20. I think that Illinois is going to be able to put up some points against a Gopher defense that's really struggling because of injury. But I do think Minnesota's offense should be able to roll here. I think that four touchdowns, two on the ground, two through the air. Mark Williams gets his first touchdown of his career. Tyler Johnson gets on the board as well. Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks both get one as well. And Emmett Carpenter is able to continue on his Big Ten field goal streak that he's on right now. He's playing extremely well as the kicker. But I do think Illinois is able to put up 20, probably on a garbage time touchdown, and Minnesota is able to walk away from their homecoming victory around 5:45 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, leaving TCF Bank Stadium fans very happy.
All right, we want to thank everybody for listening. Ryan and I will be back to break down the Illinois game. There will be no Derek Burns, I believe, this week. So, the struggle is real, I guess. It's so enjoyable to have him.
It is
breaking down games. I think it's a luxury that Gopher fans don't even quite understand. So I want to thank you again for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, don't forget to subscribe. Tell a friend about it and rate it on iTunes and or Stitcher, whatever kind of podcasting app you use. Again, thanks again, and go Gophers.